Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Father's Day is very sacred to me, not just because my dad went to be with the Lord in 2014, and I really miss him. So it's sacred for that reason. But also, while she's speaking of time, it was 32 years ago today that I pulled my young family on the parking lot up at 622 Roosevelt Street in Harrisonburg, and my first Sunday to preach was Father's Day. So I'm very grateful to Pastor Jared for giving me this opportunity. I don't think he knew all that when he asked me, but the Lord knew. And actually, my last Sunday there was in 2018, Father's Day. So it's a pretty sacred day for us, and so thank you for showing up, especially if you knew I was speaking. Thank you for coming, and be in prayer for your pastor and his family as they're away, hopefully exhaling somewhere and enjoying the company of one another. We are in a series. It's called FaceTime. Today it'll kind of be FaceTime with the Father. And I don't know how many people here know what FaceTime is. Raise your hand. The rest of you are really blessed. Some way you have avoided technology. But on the witness stand of your life, I'll be the first to testify that grandparents love FaceTime. At least when your only grandson lives 300 miles south of you. So we're pretty grateful for it. Kim, my wife, she's now a grandmother. Can you believe that? I mean, she's way too young to be a grandmother. But Kim and I got new names about 3 years ago when our first grandson was born, Landon, first grandchild. And so she became Gigi, which he shortens up to G. And I'm Papa, which he hasn't shortened up to Pa yet. But maybe if I show him some episodes of Little House on the Prairie, he will shorten my name as well. How many of you remember Little House on the Prairie? Okay, I still cry when I hear the music playing. But we got those new names, and I'll tell you, that little fella that we love dearly, even though he lives a long ways from us, we do thank God for FaceTime, because it's allowed us to get closer, to be in more personal, intimate relationship with our grandson. It's almost like being there. I don't know how she figured it out, but just last week or 2 weeks ago, Kim now reads books to Landon on FaceTime, and it's pretty intimate. So this series this summer is FaceTime, and it's kind of the same idea if you're making the spiritual connection. See, we seek his face by saturating in his holy words, and we get to know him personally through prayer. And so for us, prayer is FaceTime, FaceTime with the Father. If I had a secondary title for the message today, it would probably be Seek and You Will Find God Himself. Please don't just let that drift away. Seek and you will find God Himself. So FaceTime is about seeking the Father's face, hearing the Father's voice, and obeying the Father's word, whatever He has to say. Now, FaceTime on steroids is whenever we seek His face time and time again, really nonstop. I mean, we keep the line open. FaceTime. The question that we have to answer today, individually and corporately, is, are we praying? Not many things wake me up in a cold sweat in the night, But when I served as pastor and when I served as district servant at the Philadelphia District Church of the Nazarene, if one thing would put me in a cold sweat at night, it would be this thought. I would have a question in my mind. Are our people praying? We live in a busy world. Sometimes prayer is the first thing to go. And so in those nights, I pray myself. And often on Sunday, if I got an opportunity, the people that I was overseeing would hear something about a fresh call to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, begin with our Father. So if you have thought of prayer being anything other than relationship, I'm here to simplify it today. Prayer is another word for relationship. It is the relationship with the Father. Is FaceTime in prayer with the Father, our Father, is it essential to us? Do we value prayer time as FaceTime with God the Father? If not, we kind of run the risk of some things. Let me share three risks that we are taking if FaceTime with the Father is not essential to us. Number one, we're taking prayer way too lightly, not realizing that prayer is paramount. A second risk that we're taking is we're seeing prayer as one and done, and we're neglecting persistence and fervency when we approach the Lord. And a third risk, if we're not taking FaceTime with the Father seriously, is we are missing the reality that FaceTime with our Father is so essential, get this, that Jesus took time to teach about it, and multiple times. Jesus wouldn't be teaching about FaceTime with the Father unless it was really, really paramount. So we don't want those risks to be winning us over. We want to be in touch, in communication, worshiping, listening, speaking to the Father. Now we have lots of noises in life, I understand this. Lots of voices speaking, lots of things coming at us from all directions. Information overload is the understatement of the day we live in. Yet, nevertheless, we must embrace for dear life this truth. There is no information that is more important to us as eternal souls than what the Lord is saying. The words of Jesus are paramount. Why are His words paramount? His words are life. As a matter of fact, He is life. And apart from the Word, Jesus Himself, and the words of Jesus, we're not alive spiritually. We're dead spiritually. And Jesus had something to say to us, well, about many things He has, about all things, really. But Jesus had things to say to us that we cannot afford to avoid, especially when He speaks about prayer, being in touch with the Father. In the Holy Word of God, the words of Jesus to His disciples tells them how to pray. Okay, so we get the how-to, but don't miss the extra emphasis that Jesus almost always is given. He's telling us what the quality of effective praying is about as well. Not just how to pray, but the quality, the characteristics, the essence of prayer. Before we actually read the words of Jesus, and we are going to read some words of Jesus here in just a moment, I thought I would give you a few clues as to what Jesus is saying when He's teaching. Just things I've deducted that are more simplistic maybe than hearing His words. Prayer is to be a never-ending quest for us. A lifelong pursuit, ever seeking, fervently seeking, fervently searching for God Himself. See, I told you not to forget that at the beginning. Seek and you will find God Himself. God Himself is the reward of prayer. God Himself. His presence. So Jesus is saying that when He's teaching. I just don't want you to miss it. I'm putting neon light on it. A second thing, prayer is first and foremost about a desire to know God intimately. Not just to know about Him, not to know Him from afar, but it's about a desire to know God intimately. If you don't have a hunger to know God intimately, Dr. Dennis Kinlaw taught me personally that that is a prayer God will answer every time. Lord, please increase my hunger, my desire to know You intimately. So if you don't know where to begin to pray, that's a good place. Begin to pray about your desire to know God intimately and through prayer. Now, back to our FaceTime as a family. I can assure you, I'm here to confess, that Gigi, is more intimate with Landon than Papa is. Why? Because the two of them have much more FaceTime together. I don't mean more, I mean much more. It's got to the point where I asked Landon, who do you love? Now, he thinks he can only love one person. We're trying to teach him, but he just doesn't understand as a three-year-old. So I can ask Landon, who do you love, in front of his mama, in front of his daddy, in front of all God's creation. His answer is always the same, gee. And then he gets that little curious look on his face, and he looks at me and says, poor Papa. Poor Papa. And it is, it's sad. But Kim knows persistence. She knows how to stay after something. I mean, she was to be in both services today. That was the plan. But she had a cake she had to make last night, and it didn't go well. I'm just here to report. But everything turned out fantastic. But she got to bed a little late and a tad frustrated. And I said, honey, why don't you take the first service off today? And she didn't argue with me. But she knows persistence. She stayed after that cake. And it's an ice cream cake. And so this morning when I got up, I opened the freezer. Man, that thing looks good. It didn't look good when I went to bed. But man, it looks good. Because she's persistent. And she's like that in her relationship with her grandson. What would you call that? Kim has shameless audacity. She's persistent in the relationship, and that persistence is paying off. It's boldness to know Landon intimately. And it's resulted in a really close relationship. Now, don't feel sorry, poor Papa. Don't be feeling that. Because guess what? Allison's going to have a baby girl in October. And Papa going to get another shot at it. And so I keep telling them, that's Papa's baby. I've been trying to get them to name it after me, but no luck, no traction. So pray for Papa, will you? So prayer is like what I'm describing. Didn't that make you feel good just hearing about a grandmother with her grandson? That's FaceTime. That's prayer. We see prayer as a chore. It's the opposite. Oh, man, prayer's not a chore. Prayer is a blessing. There's a persistence in prayer that yields results. Now, listen to a parable that Jesus told about persistence. Let me just read it. If you don't have your Bible, faith comes by hearing. So just listen. Luke 18, first eight verses. One day Jesus told the disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Wow. You just stop right there to help your prayer life. Verse 2. There was a judge in a certain city, Jesus said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while. but finally said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. Wouldn't it be great in heaven today if some angel was saying, man, Carrie just won't leave God alone. He's wearing God out, which is impossible. You cannot wear God out. That grandson of ours cannot wear his G out from having a relationship with him. I mean, she's become a new woman since that little boy was born. I ain't seen anything like her. Allison, our daughter, looks at me all the time and says, Daddy, how do you keep up with her? Well, I think that little grandson's got a little something to do with the new vigor that she has found. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people? Who are his chosen people? Listen, he tells us in the next few words. Who cry out to him day and night. Those are the chosen people. Those who cry out to Father God day and night. How are we doing? How am I doing? Jesus says, will Father God keep putting them off, his children? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. And then he adds this verse. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? What does that have to do with this story? Everything. Jesus is saying, if you are not crying out to the Father day and night, your faith is amiss. He's basically saying, when the Son of Man, that's Jesus himself, when the Son of Man returns to planet Earth, how many will he find on the earth who are crying out to him day and night? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Prayer is beautifully woven into that expectation. So what's the point of the parable? How's our persistence when we approach our Father God? Is it one and done, or do we hold the line? Do we have shameless audacity? When we pray, do we engage diligent boldness? Where do we get this boldness? From knowing not who we are. The world is asking this question, who am I? Wrong question. The question is, whose am I? When you learn the answer to the question, whose am I? Who am I? Takes care of itself. The reason we lack shameless audacity and diligent boldness often in praying is we do not know who we are. We are the children of Father God. Are you claiming your inheritance? Now, I know there are times when one simple prayer immediately gains an answer from Father God. I love those times, don't you? It happens often. You just pray one prayer and bang, it happens. I was sitting with Jay Showalter this week. Jay's at the church in Harrisonburg. He's 80 now. We were having lunch, and he shared his testimony with me. I've heard it, but it's good to hear it again. And he was talking about when he first came to Christ, like 50 years ago. And he said, Pastor Carey, I was struggling with some habits, some addictions, really. And he said, one was tobacco and one was alcohol. And he said, I felt like that was interrupting my intimacy with God. He said, one morning I was shaving, a Sunday morning. He said, I had shaving cream on my face and a cigarette hanging out of the corner of my mouth. And he said, there was a preacher on television. I heard him in the living room. And the preacher said, God can take that addiction from you. And he said, I just said out loud, I wish you would. He said, Carrie, I've been smoking all my life. I was 2 packs a day. He said, I had a brand new carton of Merit cigarettes on the counter. I never opened them. That was the last cigarette I ever had. He said, man, God just zapped me. It's like God said, well, I want that more than you do. He said, but I really had an alcohol problem. And the next time I got in a situation, somebody put a glass of wine in front of me, and I thought out of courtesy I should take a sip. He said, that was the most God-awful tasting thing I ever put in my mouth. He said, he zapped me again. And all I did in the bathroom with a cigarette hanging out of my mouth, I said, I wish you'd do that for me. God's able. He can. So why doesn't he always do that? If you don't know the answer to that, I'm getting ready to tell you. Because we would not come to know him intimately. Persistence in seeking him for who he is, not just trying to get what we want from him, is how we get to know God. What would happen the next time somebody comes to you and they know you're praying for God to do a certain thing in your life and they know God's not doing it? And they might even ask you with cynicism, so has God answered your prayer yet? What would happen if you said in that moment, no, he hasn't, but let me give a good report. I have never known God more intimately in my life than I do now. We're going to close with a song. Not yet, so don't get excited. The first time I heard the song, Kim and I were on a cruise ship suffering for Jesus. That's a joke. It was 32 pastoral couples. We took, instead of a conference, we took a conversation on a cruise. And we wanted to have church on Sunday morning. And so we went to rent a space. And you know, the best place to rent a space on a ship on a Sunday morning is a bar. Because they're all closed. So we rented a bar and turned it into a church room, a church house. And the pastor who led the worship that morning, his name's Ron Salisbury from California, Pismo Beach, California. He and his dear wife, Kathy. And he led us in worship. First time I heard the song that we're going to close with, Ron had been diagnosed with prostate cancer. And it wasn't going well. And we were all praying. And we're surprised when Ron showed up for these gigs another year. But healing was not happening. They were just prolonging his life. He stands up, plays this guitar, gives this song, which I'm just going to save it so you'll have it at the end. That's called Cliffhanger. And here's what Ron Salisbury says. I want to thank God for cancer. I never heard that in my life, ever. And we all sat there dumbfounded. Preachers. And then he said, with tears running down his face, if it had not been for my cancer diagnosis, I would not nearly know God as intimately as I know him. And cancer would take Ron to heaven. And that's the last memory I have of him. Thanking God that he had grown in intimacy with the Father through cancer. My own dad, years later, will be suffering with non-Hodgkin lymphoma. I couldn't get Ron's words out of my mind. I wasn't thanking God for cancer yet, you know? This was my dad. But you know what my dad kept saying? Over and over again, through tears, he had the same countenance as Ron Salisbury. He'd say, no sad stories here. No sad stories here. Wow. What's that about? Because prayer is to seek and to find God himself. If we put the things we're asking above knowing him, that's called idolatry. Wow. I know this is deep water. I've been swimming in it 2 weeks. Hope I can get it off of me and onto you. So that's why we get to know him more when we are suffering and persevering and being persistent and coming after him and calling his name and holding the line on FaceTime. There's a song, Lord, I want to know you more. Deep within my heart, I want to know you. Lord, I want to know you more. Is that your testimony? Is it mine? I was driving to men's Bible study a couple of Tuesday mornings ago. I was on the interstate, and I had my music playing on a loop. I had picked one song by Paul Wilbur, that great Messianic Jewish worship leader. He came and did a concert, last concert that we hosted before I left as Pastor Harrisonburg. And boy, it was wonderful. It was a great concert, and I've been listening to his music well before, but especially ever since. He has his own station on Pandora, if you know what I'm talking about. But I had one song on repeat. It just kept playing and playing, and I listened to it for 20 minutes that morning. And the title of the song is, Show Me Your Face, Lord. When you go to prayer, is that your prayer? Is that why you're spending time with Him? Face time with the Lord. That's the essential meaning of prayer, is that we get to know Him for who He is. Wow. There's another passage that comes to mind, James 5, verse 16. The earnest prayer of a righteous person. Now, don't get all worked up about righteous person. I'm going to explain that to you, okay? It doesn't mean they've made a statue of you and put you outside the church. The earnest prayer of a righteous person. A righteous person is anyone who has come to know God in a right relationship. So let me get running at that again. The earnest prayer of a righteous person, one who has come to know God in a right relationship, has great power and produces wonderful results. So if we take prayer for what it is, getting to know God, the results often follow that. You know, I don't understand it, but people will call me or contact me from time to time, and they'll say, Pastor Carey, would you mind to bother your mother and ask her to put my name on her prayer list? Why is that? My mother knows God. She called me the other day. She lives alone on the coast of North Carolina, all three boys away preaching, the closest one, 350 miles. She said, Carey, it's so wonderful. I said, Mama, what is so wonderful? She said, I'm figuring it out. God knows I'm alone down here, and He won't leave me alone. He keeps coming. He keeps showing up. I just walk around the house and cry tears of joy. That's why people say, will you get your mama to put me on her prayer list? Because she knows God. And that's where results come from. Brian Charette, you know, the great Dr. Brian Charette, my dear friend. He was one of the latest ones that called me. He said, Carey, will you please ask your mom to put my name on her prayer list? When I'm home, guess who Mama asked me about? How's Brian? Tell him I'm praying for him. So when she comes into the presence of the Lord, she comes with prayer. But the main reason she comes is to seek God for God Himself. And then she adds whatever request she has. Well, let me read quickly because I always go longer in the second service. You know, I'll teach you something as a pastor. If you want to get out early, come to first service. Okay, Luke 11. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as He finished, one of His disciples came to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, what were the disciples doing while Jesus was praying? They were just watching Him. Let me give you a clue. If you're in a prayer meeting, don't watch people pray. Pray. But they came to Him and said, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist taught his disciples. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Our Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Now, that's where we get what we call the Lord's Prayer from. I want you to bow your head for a moment. We're not ending, we're praying. If you know the prayer, pray it with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So what do we learn from that prayer? Four quick things. I'll tell you quickly. One, it gives glory to Father God because He's holy. Two, it looks for the coming of God's kingdom, not just outwardly on earth, but inwardly on the throne of our own lives. Three, it asks for God's forgiveness, yet requires those who ask to show mercy to others. And four, it seeks deliverance from temptation. And you know what the most serious temptation is? To abandon loyalty to God. That is the most serious temptation. And there's no quicker way to abandon our loyalty to God than to hang up the line and quit praying. That is our lifeline, is prayer. Keep praying. I want to pick up and finish what Jesus was teaching in verse 5 of Luke 11. Then teaching them more on prayer. So he's not done. He used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit. I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. Oh, man. Seek and you shall find. God himself opening the door. I am going to close with this. Jesus didn't finish there. He went on to say these words. And I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive. See, the clue is keep on. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, keeps asking, receives. And everyone who seeks, keeps seeking, finds. And to everyone who knocks, keeps knocking. The door will eventually, if not immediately, be opened. Unrelenting asking in prayer is powerful and effective when we know God personally. That's good news, friends. That's good news. Now, some in Philadelphia churches, if I'd have said that right then, they'd have broke out in applause. It's just a culture thing. It's not a spiritual thing. So I want to repeat it again and give you a shot at it, okay? Unrelenting asking in prayer is powerful and effective for those who intimately know God. Don't you feel better now that I gave you an extra shot at that? But he doesn't finish there. It's going to get gooder. You fathers, oh, it's Father's Day, you knew it was coming. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? You see, what's he talking about? He's asking us what we think the character of Father God is like. He's asking, oh, do you think you're better at parenting than I am? Sometimes we think we are. We're wrong, but we think we are. If your child asks for a fish, do you give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, do you give him a scorpion? Of course not. So, I love so. So if you sinful people, that means unbelieving. Remember I talked about faith? So if you unbelieving people know how to give good gifts to your children, I love these next 3 words. How much more will your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Wow. Why does he add the gift of the Holy Spirit into a passage on prayer? Wow. You want your prayer life to really go to the heavenly level? Ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit has full sway of who we are, we can't help ourselves but pray. In fact, when we can't pray, the Holy Spirit prays within us. If you're trying to pray without the Holy Spirit, you got to hold the wrong end of the stick. But he says, if you know how to... Garrett, come, brother. You're a father, aren't you? Now, I brought a gift today. Yeah. because I'm such a good, good person. Would you take that out of that box? Would you receive that? Let's have a hand for a gift on Father's Day. That's all you have to do.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm such a good, good person. I know how to give gifts. How much more will the Father in heaven give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It's that simple. It's that profound. Oswald Chambers mentored me. I know I'm not that old. He died 100 years ago. But his writings mentored me. At the end of 2024, Kim humored me, and we had time to take a week and a half vacation or so. And I said, can we please go to Scotland? And she said, yes. I went to Scotland because that's where Oswald Chambers was born. That's where he lived. That's where he encountered God often in his life. I'd already been to Egypt, where he had also encountered God toward the end of his life. And I just really wanted to make the trek, kind of just to say thank you. And we were taking the ferry in Scotland to go to Dunoon, an island where Chambers spent about 9 years, I believe it was, of his life, and had many God encounters. And I was reliving it with Christ in me. It was a wonderful trip. Next to the Holy Land, it's been the best trip I've taken. And we went to Dunoon, and I had the address in the biography of Oswald Chambers of where he lived, and we went right to the address and stood on the property where this story happened. You ever wonder why Oswald Chambers, his name is on the copy of the most popular Christian devotional book in 100 years? There are two reasons why that is. Number one, he had a faithful wife, because Chambers died at 43, but she was a stenographer. And every time he preached and taught and spoke, she took notes. And so when he died, she published the works of Oswald Chambers. And that included My Utmost for His Highest, that great devotional book. So that's one reason we have the writings, but that's not the main reason. Because one day Oswald Chambers was at the Bible Institute there on Dunoon Island, and an evangelist, a traveling preacher, a guest speaker. You might want to be careful when a guest speaker comes. The Lord might be getting ready to tell you something. I mean, he can tell through your pastor, but guest speakers work too. The guest speaker was F.B. Meyer. He was an evangelist from London. And he came and he did a week with those at the Bible Institute. Oswald Chambers was in all those sessions. And he talked about the Holy Spirit. And Chambers could not get this verse off of his mind. F.B. Meyer kept driving it home, driving it home, driving it home. How much more will your Father in heaven give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? He said, I left that session. I went up to my room. I closed the door. I laid flat on the floor. And I prayed. I said, God, I've never heard anyone emphasize asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I don't even know what it really means. But here I am and I'm asking. And guess what happened? God delivered. And that's why we still hear about Oswald Chambers. It's because the Holy Spirit, from that moment on, wore that man like a suit of clothes everywhere he went. Every time he prayed, it was the Holy Spirit. Now we're getting ready to sing that song Ron Salisbury first introduced to me in a barroom church on a cruise ship. Maybe you've not heard emphasis about asking Father God for the Holy Spirit. No better day than Father's Day. And so today, like we did in the first service, it'll never be easier. He's done the hard part. If by faith today you want to ask Father God, that good, good Father God, you want to ask Him for the gift of His Holy Spirit, you will receive. Guaranteed. Now, if you need forgiveness of sin today, He can also handle that. Okay? But if you like for the Holy Spirit to live large and in charge in your life, in your prayer life, in your public life, in your private life, if you'd like the Holy Spirit to be the mainspring of your life. On Father's Day, the Father is saying, as we sing the song, we're going to sing through about half of it. I'm going to ask you to simply stand. Everyone else remain seated. But today, if you want to ask Father God, that good, good Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, He is more eager to give than we are to receive. And so as the song begins, don't hesitate. Stand. And about midway through the song, I'll redirect and we'll go to the close.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.